The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Now, I'm a little somber today. The show's going to be a little different today, but that's not why I'm somber. I'm somber because it's my birthday coming up tomorrow. And this is the end of 45. At this point, I can no longer pretend to be a churin. I cannot pretend like I'm approaching adulthood. Like it's on the cusp, it's on the horizon. After tomorrow, I will be smack dab, deep right in the center of adulthood. And I will be caught, it's like a rite of passage. From this point on, there is no excuse. Father William Thompson, rest in peace, Anglican priest. He used to say you don't catch sense till you're 40. Well, you know, we on the, what you call this calendar? We're not on the Ethiopian calendar. We're on the Gregorian calendar. Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Anyway, we're on these European people, them calendar. Mm-hmm. So I 45, that means I just hitting 40 because our European calendar is off and it's ahead of the Ethiopian calendar. And so I am somber because there is no more foolishness. There is no more pretending like I didn't know what I ought to do when I ought to do it. There is no more ignoring the rules and telling people, oh, you ain't see that. That actually happened to me. Everybody on the road watch them and place and say, no, I didn't fly my car off the sidewalk and almost hit the stop sign. Nobody saw that. Can't do that no more at 45.
Maybe it'll mean you're mellow. You think you're mellow a little bit now that you've hit that milestone? No, you won't.
No, the temperature going up. The temperature ain't going up.
I can see you get back this morning. That was hilarious.
Man, look here. It's a visceral response because what we observed made no sense whatsoever. Now you pull your car into a parking lot that is virtually empty, even though the majority of painted spots are taken up. The lot is so big, right, that it's virtually empty, and your response is to park your car across four parking spots. Four spots, right? It's like a natural response to unnecessary foolishness. It's like, because I am now an old head, a switch went off in my body that said, danger, danger. Your insurance can't afford this level of foolishness. And I wonder if other people have those types of responses. Because you're right, you saw a visceral sort of response. Yeah. My body could not tolerate that level of mindlessness in the community. And so, like, I want to send my eyes back to the shop because now they're working. You know, before they weren't working, I liked it when they didn't work. I liked it when I could see, you know, see and I said, oh, no, it was a glitch. I didn't see that. I could just walk, you know, I could just walk past that. Like, all of the listen, how bold, like, what is your job security? Where can I get the application for the job where you could go out on the road in a company vehicle and break multiple traffic offenses and not worry about it? Like, what are your team meetings like in the morning? Right?
That's assuming there is a team meeting.
There have to be. Somebody have to be passing out the rum. And somebody got to bring the Coke.
That's more like a party. That's not a team meeting, right?
Yeah.
But the good news is I went to road traffic this morning. Mm-hmm. The cashless one in, on Bay
Fort
Street.
Charlotte?
Yeah, Fort Charlotte. I have to say, I've been there twice. Incredible service.
Yeah.
Just so efficient. Mm-hmm. And I was like shocked. I was there at 8, out at like 10 past 8.
Yeah.
Boom. And it was just, so it's great. So things are working.
Right.
Some things are working really well.
That's great. And you have these pockets throughout government, throughout civil service, throughout government agencies, even in the private sector, right? But you have these pockets where things are just phenomenal, mm-hmm. right? Like everything works. And these units or departments or offices should be models to replicate throughout the civil service. But then there's some barrier to that often, whether it is that we haven't correctly identified the key elements of success in that space, so we don't know how to duplicate or replicate and get the same results.
Yeah, I think it's down to leadership as well. I have to say, I've been in the Ministry of Immigration as well, and I have to say their work permit that is... works really well.
Yeah.
It just seems very efficient. It's done by appointments. It's all cashless.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, compared to how it was like 10, 15 years ago, it is a huge improvement. I have to say, give them a big, big shout out to
absolutely
how they're working. Yeah.
And so we got to encourage managers, supervisors, administrators within the civil servant that when you identify a space that works, don't micromanage. Don't interfere, but certainly deep dive in so you can figure out how they created that environment that produces and generates, right? And then how to replicate it in different spaces. Because they're out there. Mm-hmm. And they're those of us, like we'll go one place and then we ask, well, why y'all can't? Why the staff from the bread baking unit at PMH just can't go work at NIB? They do very well at baking this, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't you just move them across? I hope to see more of that. And I hope that there's a shift in the way that we do things in government and governance to allow that to happen. Because I'm the one who would say in governance, there's a standard that has to be met. But at the same time, you have to give managers and staff and supervisors space to move beyond the box.
Yeah. Speaking of governance, did you see what was happening in the British Virgin Islands?
Why?
That's one hell of a story, right?
Yes. And so last week I mentioned briefly that the premier was, like, I'm still stunned. The premier was caught in a sting operation,
right,
reported in the Miami Herald. He went to Miami with his port director to go and receive a large amount of cash as a part of a conspiracy to allow narcotics to move through his country to go to the U.S. That is the allegation mm-hmm. that has been laid by the DEA.
And even worse than that, it was supposed to be from Al-Qaeda operatives. Can you
Hezbollah.
Imagine
that?
Or Hezbollah. Yeah,
Hezbollah.
One of
yeah, yeah.
some terrorist organization that was part of this, or supposedly part of this thing. That is remarkable.
Yeah.
But he's bold as brass, isn't he? He's saying, you can't try me because I'm ahead of a...
He's saying I have diplomatic immunity. And if you've studied law the way that I've studied law, which is Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, it's the best class available on television.
Let's go ding ding.
Right? Then surely diplomatic immunity protects anybody who have a green passport. Now, my name is green. U.S. Embassy say that ain't just because it say green on it don't mean it's a green passport, right?
Well, yeah, there is a precedent because I think they waited. There was a president of Honduras who was also implicated, and they waited till he demitted from office before they arrested him. But now they got him, so... The feeling is that they've got a pretty watertight case against him, and these things have to come from really on high.
Yeah.
It has to be cleared at the very highest levels.
And one of the questions is, if he is a premier of a territory, right, so you're mm-hmm. not an independent country, you have self-determination, I guess, in the most ethereal sense.
It's a British overseas territory, right?
Right.
And they have self-autonomy or limited...
limited self-autonomy, yeah. But they're not independent. So when he said, look here, boss, I got immunity, I thought, you only have immunity as long as the crown says that you have immunity. And then there was an interesting intersection, because they sort of questioned. So he appointed someone as acting premier before he left. And then so the question arose whether he abdicated, right?
Well, do you know the other thing? There's supposed to be a commission of inquiry that's taken place over the last year, alleging widespread
corruption.
It's such a small place, 35,000 people. I mean, we're small, right? 400,000, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much everyone would know with 35,000 people? It'd be really obvious, right?
Right. And so I'm really interested in the protest, right? Because there's been protests yesterday. They had a major protest. And I want to read the name, some articles that you can go and search at home to follow this story. And so the articles I found were British Virgin Islands should be temporarily returned to UK rule, inquiry says. And then, now I don't know where to find this response with this part, but when it was shared to me on WhatsApp, there was a response from British Virgin Islanders to that article that they should be temporarily returned to UK rule. The next article was British Virgin Islands Premier arrested in Miami over cocaine scheme, and you can get more details on that part from the U.S. perspective. British Virgin Islands protesters decry plan for direct UK rule, right? And that's it. So there's this, they said, hey, this commissioner has said, look, I'm going to recommend that you call the Queen and tell her come spend the night.
Is that a unilateral thing? Because I remember it happened in Turks and Caicos, right?
Some
similar.
Missick.
With Missick.
I mean, our cousin.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's your cousin too. Our cousin Missick. Yeah.
And so how did that happen? Was that something that came down from above, or is that something?
You know, at the time, I wasn't quite following it, but I tell you why. Because he was married to an American superstar, star. And it all just seemed
they were
like
a golden couple, weren't they?
Yeah.
She was always on the front of boats looking, you know, that scene from Titanic. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah. And smart, intelligent, you know, did very well with her career, even though she wasn't in a ton of movies. I just found it sort of really out there. And there wasn't a lot of clarity from the local media, like Bahamian media, covering it. And I just thought, I mean, I say that, of course, I'm also an anti-imperialist, so I was looking for a bit of investigative journalism that I don't think really took place. And my concern...
Does it ever take place these days? It's been so long since you actually see a piece, you know, that kind of investigation. Yeah. I think, remember we had this editor who used to write that Monday session, and that was kind of more investigative. John Marquis.
Marquis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult to do investigative journalism in a place that's so small, right?
And
so
connected, yeah.
Yeah, and where it's so difficult, and not because we're all connected and thus we don't want to talk each other's business, but we're so all connected and it's hard to get information without there being a trail, right? Like without hiding how you got access to it. And I think that becomes very difficult in this small place. But why that's important, I think, is because it all just seems so weird, man. I can't believe that the premier, like how do you become a premier of the British Virgin Islands, right? Which we know is a center for financial services for British people. Very, very important place in the Commonwealth.
Have you ever been?
No, not yet. Been to US Virgin Islands. But not British, not yet. How do you become the premier of BVI? But be silly enough to try and hook up with some Caribbean drug dealers and then go to Miami to get the money. It don't even make any sense.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I have to say, there is a part of me that asks, is this a setup? Because it takes place while there is a commission of inquiry taking place in the British Virgin Islands. It takes place while the British Crown is already questioning the integrity of the government that sits there. And if you read these articles, British Virgin Islands should be temporarily returned to UK rule. The response to that, British Virgin Islands premier arrested, British Virgin Islands protesters decry plan for direct UK rule, and British Islands premier asserts immunity in cocaine case. You get a better sense of that timeline.
I mean, what would trigger it? Because, you know, you say you have somebody at the top, right?
Right.
They get arrested for doing something really stupid. But there is somebody else, right, who can fill that position. So you just deal with the justice and the country continues ruling itself in the traditional way. Why is there the need to have the UK get involved at this point? Unless that was part of an agenda,
now,
possibly.
Yeah, possibly. What they're saying is, look, we've been concerned for a while. And a few years ago, I think all the way back to 2019, they had initiated a commission of inquiry, appointed the governor. He's not a governor general because they're not independent. The governor, British governor, appointed a one-man commission of inquiry, and then he engaged in an investigation. I think he is quoted as saying that he did not intend for the publication of the commission of inquiry, like, to align with this. But, like, there is no...
So it could just be an unfortunate situation, and now it's triggered.
Right. In fact, it says the document was commissioned in early 2021, but its release coincided with Fahy's arrest. And I think the commissioner says, well, listen, we didn't intend to release it right now, but we go release it right now because this is perilous times, right? And I found an interesting quote. Maybe I get to it after the break. I gotta find it in these notes here. But essentially, a jurist, or perhaps a legal scholar, is pointing out a trend throughout the region, Latin America and the Caribbean. But he says, you know, the people of a country shouldn't suffer for the actions of one man or group of people.
I would agree with that.
And when you talk about suspending a constitution of a people that have had self-determination, you know, for so many decades, that's a serious question to ask. But producer, let's go to a break because I got another guest joining us this morning, but I can't seem to find her in the Zoom room or on the phone line. So producer, let's go to a break. Let me go find one pigeon to send a message out to my guest because I plan to have Miss Vera Chase joining us this morning to talk about the Bahamas,
the
Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas, what they've been doing, and just some like amazing, amazing highlights in Bahamian culture. So producer, if we go to a break.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. and Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fool with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest for World News Tuesday, Mr. Mark Palmer. Call it the last day of my life as a young scallion. And after this, I must remain securely entrenched in adulthood. All right, let me read some text just before we get to our guest. The BVI, a territory of the UK, learned from their colonial rulers. The UK sold opium to China for decades in the 18th century, so they have no moral footing to cast judgment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Listen, I feel you. I mean, nobody could deny that.
Absolutely.
You're called China shut down for a whole 100 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true. And then I think about how the Bahamas and other Caribbean nations were used as transshipment points at a time when global politics rendered newly independent and newly developed and colonial territories turned into countries they were relegated to developing countries in a, I'll be polite and call it a topsy-turvy economy. I can be polite and call it that. But in an economy that gave no room for anything but a marginalized development, right, compared to the rest of the world. And so some people call it drug running. Some people call it global economic strategy, right? It all depends on what side of the channel you sit on, the pipeline, or, you know, whether you have the badge or you have the handcuffs on you, which whatever side you sit on. But it's 2022. Seems a little bit silly to be trying to go run drugs through Miami airport, you know, or any port of Miami. It don't make any sense. And you could come to the Bahamas, just open up your hotel window. Trust me, it smelled like the 80s out there. It smelled like the 80s. There's crypto everywhere.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go all the way to Miami to go make some money, sir. But I think our guest has joined us now, Mark.
Awesome.
And I'm kind of excited about this conversation because last month was International Poetry Month. And I didn't really get a chance to attend many of the events. But after speaking to the organizer, right, I thought to myself, like, look here, this is a bunch of people in the Bahamas always doing exciting things, and we rarely hear about them until they're done, until they're finished. And Ms. Vera Chase is going to join us this morning to tell us about the Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas and what they've been up to this year in the past and some of their upcoming projects. Good morning, Ms. Chase. How are you? Good morning, Ms. Chase. All right, we are going to try that again in a second.
Okay.
Ms. Chase, if you can hear me, I'm going to need you to try and call that number back, please. But the Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas has commenced, or it started on July 2nd, 18 years ago. And this year they will be celebrating 18 years in existence. And what I was really excited to hear about was the 16th annual writing competition that's taking place. Because this competition is producing some world-class writers, young and old. And we have on the list of writers coming out of the Bahamas Writers of the Commonwealth, or Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas, Mr. Arias Smith, who was in 2020 4 years old and was the youngest writer in the world. He won in their writing category ages 4 to 6. He's from Old Bight Primary School in Cat Island. He won the writing award at Malia Nassau Beach Resort, and he wrote about himself, so it was like an autobiography. He wrote about himself, Arias Smith, right? Just fantastic. Imagine, the youngest writer in the world in 2020 was a little Bahamian boy, 4 years old, from Old Bight Cat Island Primary School. And then we have Mr. Wyatt Thompson. I don't know if you guys have heard about Mr. Wyatt Thompson, but at the age of 5, right, he was a published author. His book is on Amazon, and it's called Wyatt the Chameleon.
Whoa.
Right? And anyway, I'm hoping that we can connect with Ms. Chase so that we could talk about that.
I was always interested in writing because it's really, that's how we chronicle our history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how the winners chronicled our history. But the writing is always, without the writing, we would only have oral traditions.
Right.
And there's a real skill to it because my wife's cousin, who's a lawyer, he's a fantastic writer. And, you know, we got him to do a couple things for us. And I was like, whoa, I mean, he's a better writer than me. And he practices law. And I think it's really important a skill to have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from the chronicling aspect of it.
Remember right.
That guy used to write the White Column?
P. Anthony White.
Yeah, P. Anthony White.
Let me just say good morning to Caroline White and her sister and her whole family and all the red women going down to Long Island to prepare to welcome the nation. Good morning. But P. Anthony, prolific writer.
Wow.
And just he'll capture you in the story, right?
And the history of it, all those people we would have been forgotten. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it ever was made into a book, but I used to read that with great interest. There's some incredible people who have left us, you know, who made a huge contribution here in the Bahamas, and they're now a faint
right.
You know, a history.
And so would be the importance of writing, right? Capturing history, ensuring that you document it, as many perspectives as possible. The beauty about writing it is that you're not in the grand hall. And if your voice isn't loud enough, your story is not heard and acknowledged, right? Every story can be written down.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important. And then, like you say, history goes to the hunter will always be the hero if the hunter's writing the story.
Right.
You know? But see, we got a call on the line. Let's see if this is Ms. Chase,
all right.
But maybe not. Whoever it is, you're welcome. Good morning.
Aaron, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
I've tried every way possible to get on the show.
But look here, you made it.
I did.
And for that, we are grateful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely. And listen, in fact, today is World Press Freedom Day, right? And it's important. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to have you on World Press Freedom Day, because just like Mr. Palmer was saying, we rarely recognize the importance of writers and the ability to document a story.
Exactly, but you mentioned that you have a birthday tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
You realize I knew you before you were born.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make that clear.
No, ma'am, absolutely. Absolutely, and I will carry on accordingly.
I know you will.
Yes, ma'am. And so, please, introduce yourself to the people.
First of all, I am a child of God, a Bahamian writer, published author. I am an historian of the early Bahamas and the president of the Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas. I am the script writer for the film Pompey of Steventon. I've published 5 books already. Take Me Back to Guanahani, which was in the schools from 1997. Pirate's Paradise, A Collage of Dreams, which is the recordings of the children writers across the Bahamas. And a book called Poems by a Cat Island Writer. You know I'm a Cat Island person.
Yes, ma'am.
And Tommy the Classroom Mouse, which deals with bullying. The first 2 books of short stories and poetry are about Bahamian things.
Yes.
The Collage of Dreams, like I say, is the children writers. All the works, I've compiled them in a book called A Collage of Dreams. And then I have a book called Tommy the Classroom Mouse for Little Children that deals with bullying.
Absolutely. Wow, you are a prolific writer.
I write all the time. I study Bahamian history night and day. Night and day, I go back into Bahamian history from the Arawak Indians straight on down to emancipation.
Absolutely. And I was just saying the need to, you know, to be able to document your history, you have to have a writer's. But I am so interested in, well, perhaps maybe you could turn down the radio a little bit. But the film that you are writing the script for about Steventon.
Yeah, I've Pompey written the script for Pompey. Where first we called it Pompey, a Slave's Revolt. Uh-huh. But then a lot of people didn't like the word slaves, so we changed it to Pompey of Steventon Exuma.
Right. Well, right, because we weren't born slaves, we were enslaved, you know?
Right.
That's what people are thinking.
That's why we changed it to Pompey of Steventon.
It's interesting.
Made it sound a little bit something that persons would like to hear.
Yes.
But the common rights of Bahamas is not me, you know. I have a team of persons that, you know, back me up, like it's like say in the old days. They back you up.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have a few writers, the published authors, Audrey Tynes and Daphne Moss, Reverend Angela Palacios, Linda Duncombe, Colin Galanis, and Trevor Roberts, a whole lot of persons, Samantha Miller, Stephanie Ramming, Lynette Thompson, a whole lot of persons I'm so grateful for being behind, you know, behind me all these many years. Of course, you know, we have the Cat Island people, Olivia King, principal at Old Bight Primary. We have Justin Higgs, principal at Hopetown Primary. Renette is in the Berry Islands. Carlene is in Andros. Gretchen Roll is Exuma. We have Eleuthera, Sue McCray, and Mary Stab, the Sea Grand Bahama, Nisho, Kali Ben, Nagua. We have a whole team of people, Nicola Williams and Mayor Guana.
Wow.
And Margaret Nixon and Eleuthera.
Absolute. Wow. And that's your team, right?
That's my team. Yeah, I can go into them. I can go and find them whenever. We have a WhatsApp group called Writing the Region. And
yes.
We ensure that every island is in that group. Every island teacher or principal is in that group. So when anything happens in Nassau and they don't get it quick enough, we send to them by WhatsApp.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, there's just so much to ask, right?
It's so much.
I'm impressed.
I need a whole lot, 2 hours to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm impressed by the scope of the program across the archipelago.
Across the archipelago, yes.
Well, look here. Are there barriers to communication to doing this work across the archipelago?
Yes, there are a lot of barriers. In the beginning, when we had the writing competition and started several years ago, the airline pilots from Bahamas, they used to bring the entries into Nassau to us. From the family islands.
Mm-hmm.
That's before we got so fancy, you know.
Yeah.
And technology got to be so promoted. But the airline pilots from Bahamas there would bring the entries into Nassau to us there, New Providence.
Wow.
But now we have the writing competitions are now online, but there's some challenges with some islands that we can't get their work in because they don't have, I guess, not Wi-Fi or whatever. Because the competitions now are online competitions.
Right, the virtual. Right. So, wow. So maybe we need a sponsorship. Like maybe we need a corporate sponsor to ensure that there is internet access available, if not in the homes of everyone who wants to participate, in a central community space that would be made available.
We had sponsors, a few sponsors, not that very many, but we have a few sponsors with Hurricane Dorian. The sponsors just disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, they disappeared. So And we haven't been able to do any fundraising because of COVID. So, you know, we really had a standstill with everything.
Yes. And, you know, I want to say, let me just make a point that we all understand how and why funds were diverted from, we call regular programming, right? Because of Dorian and the pandemic. We absolutely understand the urgency of the matter at the time and why resources were diverted. But I want to say to those people who were contributing to programs like these, the point that Mr. Palmer made, the need to document the lived experiences, right? A lived experience of Bahamians that went through these traumas and tragedies is equally important, right? And I know people say, well, look here, you got to have a shelter before you have somewhere to write a book. But that child can imagine that shelter and imagine their future home in a story that would, you know, keep them alive through the trauma they experience.
That is quite true. But some of our members have stepped up when we lost the sponsors and donors. They stepped up and we worked together to get the funds together to continue doing what we have to do. We never did stop, but, you know, we just slowed down a bit.
Absolutely.
The money wasn't coming in from sponsors, and so we just got together and do different things that, you know, put our own money in the plate and in the kitty, and we just did what we had to do.
Absolutely. So tell us.
So has anyone ever done a history of Cat Island? Because, you know, we have a lot about Nassau, but, you know, the family islands. Cause I know
we had some problems getting registered as a nonprofit, and that kept us back a little bit, you know.
Okay.
Since everything was changed, that nonprofits had to get registered. So, of course, you know, with us working on our own all these years, and we celebrate 18 years this year as a group.
Right.
And we've just been working on our own, getting things done. But then since things changed, and now we have to get registered, get a lawyer, get registered, and things like that. You know, but we worked on it. We got it done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's good. Because you need to be registered under the Nonprofit Act to be
That's
able
what we
to,
had to do just recently. Yeah,
to take advantage of some of the opportunities that are
right.
out there.
You're quite right about that, Aaron. And but we having some problems with the film. The film budget has been met and has not been met, and we'll be working on that as well.
But listen,
but anyone
how much
want to assist us could just send us an email at commonwealthwriters@yahoo.com with anything, because the writing competition is now ended, so we have to work on getting the prizes, getting the certificates, getting the writing awards. Years gone by, we brought the students in from the family islands, and they read at the Malia.
Mm-hmm.
Every year it was a big event. It was a red carpet event for writers, and we
yes.
had a red carpet where the students walked on a red carpet at the Malia when they came in from the family islands.
Mm-hmm.
But since that stopped, Malia's gone and the funds are gone. So last year we had it at the Elizabeth Estates Library.
Okay.
On the patio. And
absolutely.
Mrs. Dorcas Bowler, who's in charge of all the libraries throughout the Bahamas, she's assisted us with that. So we're so grateful to her and other members as well.
Well, listen, when I score big on my birthday win tomorrow, I buy an outdoor. Anybody at Elizabeth Estates complex getting baggy or cup? Baggy or cup for everybody.
Please, that's a good idea. And don't forget Elizabeth Estates Children's Home.
Yes.
You could probably go there.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. But it's important, like, for us on the outside, little children will not get excited about things that adults do not get excited about.
No, they won't.
It's very simple. And if you get excited about it, they will get excited about it. And so we can grow a culture of appreciation for writing and young people and their engagement in literary arts by just showing them how excited.
But, you know, Aaron, this year we decided to drop the writing age to three.
Okay.
Because we said that young children, they have a story of their own.
And it's probably
so
how
said,
I teeth their chips.
We said their teacher or their parents could interview them and write their story for them.
Yes.
That's why we decided not to leave the preschoolers out this year.
Okay.
So we have the preschoolers. We have 4 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, 13 to 16. That's the categories they write in.
Right. Okay, now do you have a section for older people like me now that I'm an adult?
Yes, the reason why we did the children for 2 years is because of we didn't have the funds to really have a whole lot of persons, you know, adults. But every year, we just stopped in about 2020. That's when we decided that we'd just work on the children. It'd be cheaper for us. yeah. less expensive just to do the children.
A better investment of resources.
We're thinking that this summer month, during the summer months, or maybe by early September, we'll do the adults.
Okay. I'm going to brush out my pen and start stretching my fingers now.
Yeah, but I have some good news for you, for the Commonwealth Writers. We had 4 students who entered the Queen Elizabeth Essay Competition from Palmdale Primary.
Okay.
And they were I think they were silver and bronze medalists.
What, please call all of their names if you have them in front of you.
And they, Lyford Key International School also entered, I believe, this year. And Mary Starr to see in Freeport, Grand Bahama, Sue McRae, I think she entered from 2015. Those schools entered every year in the Queen Elizabeth Essay Competition. And then again, we have the writing competition for the adults out of England. At the Commonwealth Foundation, they have the Commonwealth Writers Prize for adults. I think the first prize is £5,000.
Mm. Wow.
You don't pay to enter.
Wow. And how old do you have to be?
Any age for the adults. They have the adult category, and that's coming up in November. And then the year before, years before that, yeah. we ended the Prince of Wales photo competition.
Yes,
send
ma'am.
Photographs of different places across the island.
So
the Prince of Wales photo competition. So we've been connected with England for a little while.
Vera, how do you
join the British Foundation?
How do you become a member of the Commonwealth, and do you charge a fee for that?
Well, from July 2nd, 2004, we hit the ground running. And we've been running ever since, just going, doing things, just getting involved with storytelling. You know, we celebrated the Poetry Month of April. We
yes.
celebrated that in its entirety just recently with a meeting on the 9th and then the historical bus tour of New Providence on the 23rd. So we went around the islands, went around to the forts, and went around to different historical places. We went around to Mr. Stephen Dillette's first home on Market Street.
Which is, tell the people,
Balcony
House. I don't want them to think I'm super smart.
Yeah, we went there, just look around the premises there.
Yes.
And then, of course, we went past the dreaded Christopher Columbus statue. Everybody thinks it's dreaded, but that statue is worth quite a bit of money.
Yes.
Yeah, the Africans gave Sir James Carmichael Smith a considerable amount of money to purchase a statue. They thought it would be a statue of himself, of Sir James, because he was an abolitionist.
Right.
But he got Christopher Columbus, and Christopher Columbus statue is made by the same persons who made the lions near the House of Parliament in England.
Wow.
The same persons who made the lions that are near the House of Parliament and on the Thames River.
Yes.
Made Christopher Columbus statue.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, That history in and of itself, right? Separate from the legacy. Yeah, wow. So, Ms. Chase, you know I got to have you on for a history segment.
They thought that the slaves thought, the freed people thought he was getting a statue of himself because he was so good to them as an abolitionist.
Yes.
But he instead ordered from England. It took weeks to come on the boat from England to the Bahamas, you know.
Wow.
On June 23rd, I think, it was established in 1832, I think, at Government House installed.
Wow.
Did he get the road named after him?
Right. The road, Carmichael Road, is named after him, right?
It's named after him. Let me tell you all his name after Sir James Carmichael Smith. Yeah. Carmichael Road.
Mm-hmm.
Carmichael's primary school was named after him.
Mm-hmm.
James Sisterney Luther is named after him. And Smith's Bay, Cat Island, is named after him.
Hold on, James Siston, home of the mosquito. Look here, if ever we go into war, I go into James Siston to get my mosquitoes. I love it there.
Nobody knew why it's called James Siston. It's because James Carmichael Smith went there when they had a revolt in that Salmon.
Oh, wow.
A slave revolt in that Salmon.
Wow.
And he went there.
I see how important it is to write history down.
You need to write it down because Sir James Carmichael Smith was not an ordinary man.
Yeah.
They ran him out of town because mm-hmm. he was so close to the freed people, blacks, and the liberated mm-hmm. slaves, liberated Africans, and he was very into them. He used to go to church at the church on Carmichael Road. I forget the name of it now. Right on the end of the road there, St. Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
He used to ride from Government
twice.
House, go to church with the slaves at St. Ambrose.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right about it. But we don't really hear about him, you know, and he was a significant person.
That's the church. If you go to St. Ambrose Church on the off Carmichael Road, and you go in the church, they can tell you that's the church. It's a church. It was renovated, mm-hmm. but that's the original church where Sir James Carmichael Smith went to church.
Wow. So, Ms. Chase, I was looking for a question, a trivia question for the show the other day, and I thought I spent all night trying to verify the correct answer. And so the question was, what is the oldest church in the Bahamas? And there was I got two different answers.
And what did you get?
Christ Church. One answer was Christ Church is the oldest church, but mm-hmm. another answer was, I think it's a church on a family island that would have been like built when the Spaniards were here and then taken over by the crown, like the British church.
Well, you know, actually, Christ Church at Tito was established by the Lord Proprietors of the Carolinas.
Okay. Wow.
They're the ones that established the church, the Christ Church at Tito. And that's the church where Woods Rogers, you know, when Woods Rogers came to the Bahamas, he not only came to get rid of the pirates, you know, he came to establish the bishop in Christ Church Cathedral.
Okay.
It was Charles II gave him letters and to establish the Parliament, House of Parliament. That's what his main job to come. And the pirates came third. But his main thing was to work for the church. He was an Anglican.
All right.
That's Woods Rogers. That's Woods Rogers.
Look here. It's a little strip of landmark right between Old Fort Bay and Lyford Key. I'm going to find me some letters. Vera, I need you to write me some letters.
You all need to get Woods Rogers right, standing up in squalor there in British colonial too.
Yeah.
He's a man of many, many tasks and talents.
Wow. You know, and whether, you know, as a anti-imperialist advocate, right? There's a part of me sitting at this table right now about, Aaron, you smiling too much with all of this loyalist and old European colonial history. But A, it's important to know it.
Yes, it's important to know. And I know I've been studying the liberated Africans in the Bahamas for quite some time as well.
Yes.
And no one don't know anything about them.
No, we barely know. And those that do know need the resources to write it down, but to collect it, right? To collate it, to put it together.
Right, need to put it together.
Yes.
I have a lot of information. I studied many ministries, black history, white history, all over the place, studying everybody. But let me get back to the Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas.
Right, and tell us, how do you join the association and how to get in contact with you?
What we're looking for, you don't really have to be a writer to be a member of the Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas. We just need person to support us in our historical ventures and our cultural events and whatever. Just need some support. And anyone who's interested in becoming a member, you can send an email to commonwealthwriters@yahoo.com. The entrance fee for adults is $50 a year, and for students, there's no cost for students. Just as an encouragement for them to write, we didn't put any money, any value for a membership for the students.
Absolutely, that's mm-hmm. great.
And we've had the writing competition started for students in 2005. In that first year, we had NGM Major, Sims Primary School, Dumfries, Kent Island, Cabot Hill, Crooked Island, Zabris Lower School, a whole bunch of students entered the competition that year.
Right. Okay. So I guess I got two last questions. We only have 3 minutes left.
Okay.
One question is, like, tell us about more about Pompey of Steventon. But before you do that, tell us the winners from last year's writing competition.
Okay, the winners from last year's writing competition, and they are now members of our organization.
Mm-hmm.
They had 4 to 6 year old was Wyatt Thompson at Mount Thompson Primary School,
mm-hmm.
and then the second one was Odari Gomez, Mary Star of the Sea in Grand Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
The third place winner was Candency Storm, Morristown Primary, Exuma, in the age category 4 to 6. And 7 to 9 was Ariane Nixon, Old Bight Primary, first place. Second place was Samari Moss, Mary Star of the Sea. And the third place was Rima Sebastian, Mary Star of the Sea. That's in the age category 7 to 9.
Okay.
Then the age category 10 to 12 was Aiden King, Old Bight Primary, Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
The second place winner was Malia Taka, Artist Town, Comprehensive School in Cat Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the third place was Kahaya Smith and Hans School, New Providence.
Okay.
and they've all received, they're all members of all who entered, 51 entries last, and every one of them got their membership card from the Commonwealth Writers of the Bahamas.
Awesome. This is great. This is great, because I got to hire one of them to write me a letter to Santa now that I am an old head. They know how to get the gifts.
These children are writing all sorts of stuff. You can't imagine what they're writing about. You can't imagine.
Absolutely. So listen, I have got two texts here that you have to hear. The first is, Ms. Green, you have to have Ms. Chase back to speak on African history in the Bahamas, the history of things in the Bahamas. And a second text that says, the oldest church in the Bahamas is St. Mary's in Long Island, Bahamas. It has a beautiful shrimp hole directly behind it.
Oh, great.
That's the text.
Then we need to look that up then, because I also found a church in Exuma established in 1807. I think it was St. Andrew's down there in Roll Town. I believe that's where it is.
Wow, yeah. And yeah. Like I said, the one I saw, it would have been initially established in the 1600s and then reestablished in the 1800s.
Okay. Well, Christchurch was established.
Well, we have a lot of Bahamian history that persons do not know anything about, and I'll be glad to share the last names. I've been researching last names for about 10 years.
Okay.
I'm a Poitier from Cat Island, so I researched the Poitier last name back to the white Poitiers live in Australia.
Wow, look here, we got to go. I'm all out of time, but that means I have to have you back on my show. And I just want to say to that last text, I want to thank you. I don't know what the right answer is, but your answer is correct, because the Bible say man must not live by bread alone. Come to church at St. Mary's in Long Island and then go to the shrimp hole after the service and you could be good. You don't have to rush home for dinner or nothing. I love
that
it anyway.
Excellent. Thank you, Aaron, for having me on. I appreciate you so much.
No, man, thank you.
Give my regards to your mom.
I will do. Thank you. We appreciate you as a nation so much for this work that you are doing. Mark, thank you for joining me today. You kept it a little bit light. There's so much tension in the world. I think we need to shift the energy just a little bit. To my audience, thank you for joining me. Guardian Radio AM is up next, and then stay tuned for The Revolution. Z Live with Chivago Lang and Talking Heads with Naughty. It's going to be a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.